Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Imaging Genetics Educational Symposium today. I'm very happy to be here and to have the opportunity to show you some of the latest stuff that's going on in imaging genetics research in autism, and hopefully to give you a fair amount of background in how we do this kind of research and what it means for the study of autism. We're going to have four speakers today: Dr. Geschwin, Trachtenberg, Ashley Van Zeelen, and Declan Murphy, who will be talking about different aspects of imaging genetics. First, I wanted to give you just the briefest of backgrounds. Typically, when we think about imaging and genetics, finding genes and understanding what are genetic contributions to disorders like autism, We use this approach where we look for genes for a specific disorder, and as you all probably know, that this has not been tremendously successful simply because the disorders are very, very complex, made up of multiple phenotypes. And so one of the approaches has been to look not at genetic causes of a disorder, but rather genetic relationships to specific phenotypes. In imaging genetics research, essentially what we're doing is thinking of the brain and brain imaging metrics as quantitative phenotypes for looking at the effects of gene on the brain, which then will themselves relate to behavioral phenotypes and ultimately to the disorder. And so from this point of view, you can see that there are multiple factors, environment times gene and gene-gene interactions that might profoundly impact whether one gets a disorder or how that's manifest. But as we move down the chain from disorder to phenotypes that are behavioral to brain phenotypes, we find that the effects of gene are probably a little bit more direct on the brain itself. And so we hope that this is an approach that's going to be very informative in understanding risk factors and how we can relate the genes to the brain, to behavior, and understand that gene-behavior pathway better. I'm just going to spend 1 minute talking to you a little bit about the background and history of imaging genetics and how this field got started. The earliest studies were done in the Alzheimer's world with a Alzheimer's risk gene, the APOE4 allele. And unlike the kinds of genes we're talking about in autism, the APOE4 allele is a major genetic risk factor for Alzheimer's, accounting for about 50% of the genetic variants. One of the first studies ever done was this study by Gary Small, looking at older individuals with age-associated memory impairment using PET. And what he found was that PET scans, as you can see on the far right of the demented or Alzheimer's brain, show a dramatic loss of glucose metabolism, particularly in the parietal cortex. But what he found was in memory-impaired older individuals who did not yet have the disease, there was a pattern of loss in APOE4 carriers that was very similar to what was seen in Alzheimer's patients, though not nearly as severe, suggesting that the gene was having an effect before the clinical syndrome was fully manifest. And shortly after that, we did a functional MRI study in an older, healthy individuals with normal memories, showing that carriers of the APOE4 allele had different brain activation patterns, even though their memory was normal, their behavior was completely normal, and there was no sign of early disease, and in fact, the individuals themselves didn't know that they were carriers at all. And so this suggested that brain imaging markers like fMRI and PET and other markers would be very sensitive measures of the effects of genetic variants that impose a risk of a disease in this preclinical and non-clinical state. And this was carried even further in a study by Ahmad Hariri, who showed that a common polymorphism, one that Declan Murphy will talk about in a little bit, that is related to serotonin transport, and that is a weak risk factor for a variety of disorders, including anxiety disorders, that individuals carrying this short allele polymorphism had increased amygdala reactivity in response to seeing emotional stimuli. In two cohorts, independent cohorts that he ran, of young, normal, healthy volunteers. And so this study took the field just that extra step in indicating that common polymorphisms might have measurable effects on brain structure and brain function in a way that had almost nothing to do with disease states, but rather that conferred what could be considered a very subtle risk that may never be expressed in behavior at all. So the imaging and genetics approaches that have evolved since that time have generally looked at more common polymorphisms that have weak relationships to disorders as opposed to the APOE4, which has a very strong relationship to the disorder Alzheimer's disease. Again, with the notion that that brain imaging may have a more direct expression of genetic effects than behavior. And so these common polymorphisms can be studied with a variety of different brain imaging technologies, brain structure, the developmental trajectory of brain structure and function, functional activation, functional connectivity, and many, many other metrics that we can think about. And so in this case, we think of these brain metrics as quantitative phenotypes that have just a closer bearing to genetics than the more complex behavioral traits that that we have studied typically. So today's speakers are going to begin with Dr. Daniel Geschwin, who's going to talk about what you need to know about genetics for imaging genetic studies, a lot about the theory behind this, and then we're going to follow that up with three talks that use imaging genetic approaches in very different ways. Dr. Trachtenberg is going to talk about imaging genetic approaches in an animal model, imaging dendritic growth in vivo. Declan Murphy is going to talk about serotonin transporter genes and serotonin generally and its role in autism. And then Ashley Scott Van Zeeland is going to talk about the CATNAP2 risk allele for autism and a variety of ways of studying that with structure and functional connectivity and functional activation. So in general, our goals are going to be here to learn these methods and best practices for choosing genes to study using a wide range of methods as examples, and to see really some of the most recent and cutting-edge work on specific autism risk genes.